Night. Good to have a good spirit in church. Isn't that wonderful? Good free spirit. Good spirit of God to meld our hearts together and also with Christ. Ephesians chapter 5. We're in the book of Ephesians tonight. Continuing this study and starting a new chapter tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. And there's only two verses before us. So much that we have been preaching has been about the practical Christian life lately, since we have changed really the whole theme of the book or the emphasis of the book starting in chapter 4. First three chapters were on all the heavenly blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And now God is telling us through His Word of our earthly responsibilities because of how He has blessed us. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Let's pray together. Father, we ask tonight that your word would be magnified. We know that you've already spoken, that you've magnified your word above all your name, as we read that in the scripture of truth. And we pray that your word would be magnified in our hearts and minds tonight, that you may have your will in our lives. And Father, I'm acutely aware that I only have one journey in life. And my brothers and sisters in Christ have one trip through this life. And Lord, we don't want to waste it. And we certainly do not want to be a disappointment to you or our family and those we love. And we pray that you would help our walk. Help our walk to be pleasing in your sight. Help us to follow all that we should follow and shun all that we should shun. And teach us these spiritual truths through your word tonight, and give us the grace and the courage to live by them. And we'll thank you and praise you for that help. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God." You know, that's not an option. That's stated really as a commandment. God expects us, if you're a child of God, He expects you to follow Him. Now, God doesn't expect people that aren't saved to follow Him. They do not have the wherewithal. They don't have the materials. They don't have the Spirit of God in them to be able to start that journey. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, God expects us to follow Him. "Be ye therefore followers of God." Now everybody follows somebody. And everybody follows something. Sometimes, sadly, most follow the wrong one. Or the wrong thing. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, "He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." You know, that's a really nice way to say, if you follow a vain person, you're a dingbat. He that followeth vain, you don't want a Bible in your vernacular. You know, God would be telling us to shut up and tell us how stupid we are and all those. No, be ye, He says, "He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." You don't know what you're doing. You have no brain. You have no understanding. The information is not there. The matter is not there. No, don't follow a vain person. A vain person. What's a vain person? Anybody that's not living for Jesus Christ is a vain person. Because all is vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. Everything under the sun is vanity. That's the whole book of Ecclesiastes. If we live for anything else besides living for Jesus Christ and for eternal things, it's a vain life. It's a vain show. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter how pretty you are. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter what kind of life you have. If you're not living it for Jesus Christ and for eternal values, then it has no meaning. It's vanity. It's vain. And every man's that vain show. He says, follow. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. We saw when we were going through 2 Peter chapter 2, he said that many shall follow their pernicious ways, following those false teachers and false prophets and the wrong individuals in their life. Others are following the way of Balaam. Don't follow the wrong one. It's interesting that the Bible uses that word follow. That's not a hard word to understand. That's so common and so up-to-date language that all of the social media has people that follow them. Isn't that right? I don't even do that. I don't even know what it's about, but I know it's there. Oh, I'm following. How many followers do they have? Now, you just stop just a minute and you put your head around that just a minute. Can you put your head around that just a minute? How many people, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know, but how many people in this building tonight, you're following somebody on social media that's a vain person? And God says, if you are, you're void of understanding. Who cares what they do? Who cares what they wear? Who cares what they say? Who cares where they go? Who cares what they like? Don't follow vain persons. Anybody that's not saved is vain. And there's a lot of saved people that are vain. So unfriend them. Unfollow them. Disconnect it. Follow Jesus. Amen. You'll be surprised how many people start following somebody, even with that seemingly harmless thing. And pretty soon, what that vain person likes, so-and-so starts liking. Right? Now, I didn't intend to preach on social media, but we're talking about update 21st century English. And the Lord says, don't follow vain persons. Follow Jesus. Follow God. Follow someone that wraps their life up in something that is worthwhile. The Bible lets us know if we're saved that we're sheep, right? Aren't we sheep? What do sheep do? Who do they follow? They follow the shepherd. They don't follow the thief. They don't follow the wolf. They follow the shepherd. They know his voice. We're to be followers of God. So many people have followed Jesus Christ. You know, the big great testimony in the New Testament, how the disciples followed the Lord Jesus. But you know, at the end of the game, at the end of the show, they weren't there, but there were a lot of women following Jesus to the cross, right? Remember that? And those women followed him all the way to the cross. And then here comes John. And then the rest of them were flunkies. They didn't follow Jesus all the way. Thank God for those women that did and John that did come back and do so. But follow the shepherd, follow God. As we've been seeing in the book of John, a lot of people followed Jesus, even in his earthly ministry, and they followed him feignedly. They didn't follow him with a right motive or a right heart. They followed him to get a meal out of him. Or they followed him to find some healing for someone. They were not following the way of truth and of righteousness. They weren't following him because they loved him. They followed him for a selfish motive. The rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated have all associated themselves with following Jesus for one reason or another. But he says in our text, be ye therefore followers of God. And then he says, as dear children. As dear children. That means really, if I would give points tonight, I'd say point number one, dear children, follow God. And just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you're following God. But if you're a dear child of God, you do follow God. You know, in growing up in the neighborhood, you got the neighbor's kids, right? And then you got your kids. And then maybe in your kids, you've got a dear child. Well, that went over really well. I'm trying to say just because they're your children don't mean that they are endeared to you. You know, the Bible says God so loved the world, but you know what he did when he came down to Daniel? He said to Daniel, through that angel, he said, thou art greatly beloved. He encouraged Daniel, said, you know what, Daniel, God really does love you. You are dear to God. You are so dear to God, he has been involved in every step of the way behind your life. You know why? Because Daniel was a follower of God. And because he was a follower of God, he was dear to God. Listen, don't just be a child of God. Be a dear child of God. Be a child that the Lord can be pleased with and puts a smile on his face. Be dear children. You see the difference?
And that only happens because of our walk. Does God not love the Christian that's not walking in a correct walk? Yes, He loves them, but they're not dear in that sense because they're not following. They're breaking His heart. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, I have to point this out because it's in all the other false versions of the Bible. Most, no matter really which one you would pick up, they change this verse and they say, be ye therefore imitators of God. And that includes the New King James Version, which say, well, I've got a New King James because I don't like some of the words. They don't make sense to me, so I want to take that because it has all the words just in a different way. That's not true. And the New King James agrees with the RSV and the ESV and all the other perversions of Scripture in this verse. Now, let me tell you why that's so important. He says, be ye followers of God. He didn't say, be ye imitators of God. You know what an imitator is? Do you know what an imitation is? It's a fake. Just like the fake Bibles on the market. Throw them all away. They're fakes. They're imitators. They put it in their Bible. They let you know they're imitators. You know what I don't like? I don't like fake food. Y'all know what fake food is? Now, look. One of these days I'm going to preach a message. I'm not going to talk about food. But I don't like fake burgers. Amen. Like Sam Gipp. I don't want a veggie burger. I don't want a soy burger. I want a burger. Or I don't want to eat it. I'll eat celery. Amen. Amen. Who wants something that's fake? Who wants something that's imitation? I don't like imitation cheese. I like real cheese. I like that real, that cheddar cheese that's real, you know, not that fake stuff they put all that coloring in. Or that cheese that's made out of oil. No milk in it. See, some of you don't even know what you're eating. Go home and check your cheese. Some of it's fake. Amen. Not real. Parmesan cheese. You know what I got in my refrigerator? I got a block. A Parmesan cheese, you know how it's real? It's hard. It's real hard. It's not that stuff in that little round can. That's not cheese, guys. That's not real. It's like fake crab meat. You know, they spray, you know what that is? That's pollock. That's a fish. And they spray orange stuff on it. Fake. Who wants fake? There's a lot of fake Christians. Just like there's fake Bibles. They're fake Christians. There are Christians that just imitate things, but they're not a reality in their life. Don't be fake. We don't want fake stuff. We want things that are real. That's why my wife's not allowed to buy margarine. Hey man, I want butter. I want it to be real. If it's not real, then eat it without it. Somebody's mad and going to leave the church because I preached on margarine. Amen. I remember when I was growing up, people wanted to show off and they wanted to, this was back in the 80s, when they wanted to show off and they wanted to act like they were big stuff, but they didn't. Anybody know how much a Rolex costs? How much? Thousands. Yeah, it's thousands. Y'all remember in the 80s those imitation Rolexes? I mean, it had the little... I got one of them. I went on a mission trip. I did. And they were selling down there, you know, right there on the flea market. Man, where's a Rolex? Hey, it was pretty. And the guy says, you know, I don't know. The guy was selling, I think this is real. And I'll give it to you for a good deal. I got that Rolex. You know, that thing quit working in about 4 days. You know why? Because it was fake. It didn't have a diamond in it. It had a piece of glass in there, but it looked pretty. It tried to copy all of the things about that Rolex. This is not a Rolex. This is a Citizen, in case you know. But, oh, I wonder. Look at that. That's not real. Not real. You know what God wants? God wants your Christianity not to be an imitation. He wants it to be real. And, you know, one of the big downfalls of Christianity in our good Bible-believing churches, Baptist churches, in the last 30, 40 years has been people were imitating things instead of being real about it. I even noticed that as a young preacher. Brother Ray, he could testify to this. He grew up in the same culture that I did around that time and went to Bible college. And you'd get the big preachers, you know, that would preach to thousands. And young preachers would start to try to imitate that. They would start to try to imitate their style. They would try to preach like Dr. So-and-so preached and have the same inflection and the same voice and the same cadence. And if I could just imitate the way he is, then I could have the life he has. And I could have the power he had and the success that he had. It doesn't come in imitating. Now, if you want to follow him to the prayer closet, and if you want to follow him to the Holy Ghost when he's begging God for the power of God, if you want to follow him to the place of faithfulness, if you want to follow him to the place of sacrifice and commitment, if you want to follow him to the place where his heart's right with God and he falls in love with Jesus and he's turned over everything to God, if you want to follow that, okay, but don't imitate the man.
Singers have done the same thing.
Oh, if I could just hold the mic that way and purse my lips in the proper fashion and have my hairstyle of the famous person on TV and just imitate. God delivers from imitators. And you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of in the church what's happened. Sometimes somebody may not have got a hold of the wrong Bible, but they got a hold of the same false truth that was in the wrong Bible. And they began imitating their friends. And they began imitating the culture of Christianity. But it wasn't real in their heart. God doesn't want you to imitate him. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to follow him in the garden. And follow him to the place of sacrifice. And follow him in compassion. Not just try to imitate something. God deliver us from a fake. You can carry your Bible and be a fake. You can dress right and be a fake. You can come to church and be a fake. Don't be a fake. Be real. Be a real Christian. And a real Christian is a dear child of God that is following Jesus Christ. It's not a copycat Christianity. It's not an imitation Christianity. It is not conforming to a form of godliness. It is having the power and the reality of God in your heart. Not just going through the motions. A long time ago, I had to stop that with my prayer. You know, if you're not careful, you'll start imitating other people in your prayers. Get your own prayer. Right. Always bug me, those people get up and read their prayers. What is that? Just put it in the mail and send it to God if you're going to do that, you know. Be real. If you mess up in your prayer, well, it's real. We want something real. We want real praise and real worship. That's why all of this liberal, modern, progressive Christianity, it's all a fake. They're doing this right here because somebody else over there, and they're going, yeah. I guess that they didn't learn to do that. They were imitating that. Right. Just like the tongue talkers. They didn't go to church and start doing that. They started imitating what somebody else did. Right. Don't be a fake. Be a follower of God. God, Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:21, left us an example that we should follow his steps. Follow those steps. Follow in his steps the way he's walking. Not just imitate him. Do what he did. Love what he loved. Be what he was.
Be ye therefore followers of God. Somebody said, well, be a follower of God. Well, let him come down here and I'll follow him. I mean, how am I going to follow God? I can't see God. I can read what he wrote, but I can't see him. How can I follow him? And this is the second great truth about being followers of God. If you follow God, listen now, if you follow God, then you will not have a problem following godly people.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Part of following God is learning to follow God's people. Because Jesus is not at your house, and Jesus doesn't walk with you to your job in a physical sense. You don't see him. You don't audibly hear him. And so what God does in our lives, all of our lives, he puts examples of people in our lives that are full of God so we can learn to follow them. It's like this. You remember when the Bible tells us, how can you say that you love God whom you've not seen when you can't love your brother that you have seen? In other words, I get to exercise loving God as I'm loving a brother because I don't see God. God doesn't go to my house. How do I even know I like him? If Jesus went home with you, how do you know that would even be a pleasant experience? How do you know you would love God? Well, you know you can love God if you can love others. If you can love others, then you can learn to love God whom you can't see. How am I going to follow God? Well, I will never learn to follow God if I don't learn to follow somebody else. That's scriptural, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 16, wherefore I beseech you. He's begging them. Be ye followers of me. You see that? He had led them to Christ in verse 15. He begotten them through the gospel. Brought them into this world. Gave them the gospel. They were saved. And he says, be ye followers of me. Now, why didn't he just say, follow God? Because he knew, looking at the Corinthians' lives, you have to follow me before you're ever going to start following God. You're so mixed up in your life. Follow me first. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And now, it's not just them following Paul. It's them following Paul, as 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul's not telling them just to follow him because he was their pastor, or follow him because he was their spiritual leader, or he led them to Christ, and no matter what he did, you just blindly follow me. He's not saying that. He said, listen, I'm following Jesus, follow me and you'll get to the right place. He's ultimately wanting them to follow Christ. He ultimately wants them to follow God. But they need that example in their life, or that ensample, as the Bible used, that sample of the real thing, so they can learn to follow Jesus. They can learn to follow God through following other people. And we all do that. But too many times people follow somebody that's full of the devil instead of full of the Lord. Find somebody that's full of God and is pleasing God and following Jesus Christ and follow them. Bob Jones Sr. said, you can follow anybody as long as they're on the right road. Now, if they take a detour, then you detour as well. I'll just read some of these other verses. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mock them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. And then he said in verse 9, to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Hebrews 6:12. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Follow somebody that's living for Jesus Christ. Follow somebody that knows Jesus Christ, that's filled with the Spirit of God. And if we look, it may be in our young lives, it may be our parents, it may be a youth leader, it may be a pastor, it may be a deacon, it may be a friend that's close to God, but follow somebody that's following Jesus. Don't follow somebody that's following somebody else. Follow somebody that's going to lead you to Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ. So number one, dear children, follow God. But to follow God, you've got to be willing to follow other people. You know, some people stop there. Well, I'm not following anybody but God. And so then they make a God of their own making, not one that they learned from someone else. You go back to our text, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore
followers of God, as dear children. And then he says, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Following God means that you're following in that love that Christ has loved you with. If you follow God, then you'll walk in love. You'll walk in His love, because that love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you. And your motive for following Him is that you love Him because He first loved you. And you're walking in that love. And everything of your life is dictated by your love for God. How many sins would all of us shun if we love Jesus Christ enough to follow Him instead of our own way? Walk in love. Following God means you're following something that's good. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Love, walking in love, following love is something that is good. And he tells us that. Ever follow that which is good in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. But look at the text I want to call your attention to. 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a host of things that are good. There's a host of things that are like this love he's telling us to walk in. To be followers of God, we need to be dear children to do that. We need to be willing to be follow other people to do that. And we need to follow that which is good, including love. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at it with me in verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Those are verse 10 and above. And then he says, and follow after, watch the list. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You see all those things God tells you to follow? All those are good things. Do not choose to follow bad things. Choose to follow good things. The love of Christ, the love of God, the love of others, the righteousness of God, the godliness that we can find in our hearts and minds, the faith, follow patience, follow meekness. Be followers of that. You cannot be followers of God if you're not following that. If godliness isn't in your life, you're not following God. You can say you are. But following God is following those good things of God that He's trying to lead us in. You know, one of those good things is caring for other people's souls. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you to become what? Fishermen. You see, when I'm really following God, it changes my priorities. It changes my life. It changes my character. It changes my personality. And now these fishermen are going to start being interested in the souls of men and being fishing. They're going to start fishing for men. Why? Because they're following that which is good. Go back to our text. I see a fourth thing. Dear children, follow God. To follow God, you must be willing to follow others. You've got to follow that which is good to follow God. It's not just something you say you're doing. And then verse 2, he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Now watch how it describes Jesus' love for you. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, the Lord loved us so much. Somebody bring me an offering plate, Brother Paul, would you? Jesus loved us. Now, when we take up our offerings, it said that Christ loved us so much that he gave himself an offering for us. A sacrifice. You know, we say we love God, and the Bible says where our treasure is, there's where our heart is also. And because we love God, we put an offering here. We give God a thanks. We give him an offering. Why? Because we love him. Not because we're made to, because we love him. Amen. Not because just the church needs it, because we love God. Amen. And so because I love you, I'm going to give you an offering. Jesus loved you so much that he gave an offering for you. But it wasn't his money. He stepped in the plate. He was the offering. He was the sacrifice. He's the one that got in the plate. And he loved you so much that he was willing to do that. Now, what's our context? The context is following God. So if Jesus Christ gave himself for me, if I'm a follower of God as a dear child, what am I going to do?
I'm going to get in the plate, aren't I? If I'm really going to follow God, I'm going to have the same heart for Him that He had for me. And really, I ought to have a whole lot bigger heart for Him than He ever had for me. I wasn't nothing to love. But He's everything to love. I can't be stingy with God. I can't be picky with God. I can't hold back on God. Not if I'm a follower of God. I've got to give Him my whole self. Look, anybody that's called of God, anybody that's preaching for God, a church that's real for God, they're not after your money. They're after something a whole lot bigger than that. They're after everything. Jesus deserves everything. He deserves us to get in the plate. And when I'm really following God, you know what I'm doing? I'm getting in the plate. The fourth thing about following God costs you something. And when this is written to these Ephesians Christians, it's not just some little ditty, okay, yeah, follow the Lord. No, he says, be followers of God. He said, remember how much Jesus loved you. He gave Himself an offering, a sacrifice for you. And when He did that, it was a sweet smelling savor unto the Father. It was such a beautiful thing. It was such a wonderful thing. Such love. Such wondrous love. And God could smell that sacrifice and offering of the body of Jesus for us, that He loved us that much, but it cost Him everything. And if I'm going to follow God, it's going to cost me something too. When Jesus came to the disciples, He said, follow Me. And they did have to leave their nets. They did have to leave their livelihood. They did have to leave their jobs. They even left their families. I understand it was only 3.5 years, but brethren, listen to me. The 12 disciples didn't follow Jesus everywhere He went with a train of wives and children. It was a sacrifice. You understand? To follow Jesus. Jesus goes to Matthew at the customs and He says, follow Me. I mean, just get up and leave that job. That cost Him something. The disciples came back, and you know what they said to Jesus one time? They said, we have forsaken all and followed Thee. We've forsaken all of our, not just our finances, we've forsaken our friends, we've forsaken the lives that we were trying to live. We've forsaken all. It cost them something to follow Jesus. We read those wonderful stories about the disciples, but do you understand what it cost them to do that? They put themselves aside. They put their dreams aside. To be followers of God cost them something. You know what Jesus said? If you're going to follow Me, listen. You want to follow Me? Jesus said, you want to be followers of God? What does that mean? The one that's writing this in Ephesians 5, do you know what it cost him to follow God? It cost him everybody he grew up with hated his guts. All the people he went to school with despised him. All of his relatives, all of those people that were related to him in the flesh of Israelite, they wanted his neck. Cost him something. And he finally laid down his neck. But he joyfully said, hey, this is a good trip. You need to follow Him too. I advise it. I recommend it. Jesus said, if you're going to follow Me, this is what it'll cost you. You got to deny yourself. You know, if the Lord would have put a price tag on and said, okay, if you want to follow Me, you got to give Me half your income or 75%. Now, one guy did came and said, I'll follow you. And he says, okay, go sell all that you have. And you know why he told that guy that? Because he's really rich. He could have gave him a big offering and had plenty stashed back. But he had to deny himself. Jesus said, you want to follow Me? You got to deny yourself and take up what? Take up a cross. And then you can follow. If we're going to be followers of God, it'll be a cross life. It'll be denial of self. It's a lot deeper. When He says, be followers of God, it's a lot deeper than just some surface Christianity. It's something that costs me something. But it ought to. Because He's worthy of it. And I should not offer to my God of that which costs me nothing. He's too valuable. He's too high and lifted up. He's too exalted. I don't want to put cheap gifts on my Savior. I don't want to give Him the leftovers of my life. He deserves something of the highest value that I have. And if that's sitting at His feet, pouring out my tears, amen, and washing His feet with my hairs of my head, if I just have a little gift and I give it all, it should still cost me something to follow God.
Be ye followers of God. You willing to pay the cost? Part of that cost is suffering. He said in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 and 4, you're called to suffer. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The same text about following in His steps there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, He left an example that we should follow His steps. He says that Christ suffered for us. Those were the steps. Who wants to sign up for that cost? 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Listen, listen, church. Having received the word in much affliction. Being followers of Paul and of the Lord cost them much affliction. But he says, with joy of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just, oh man, we're getting beat and we're getting persecuted. No, it was a lot of joy. Because there's a lot of joy in serving Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what, you start following God, the Holy Ghost will fill your life if you'll follow God. The Holy Ghost will give you what Apple can't give you. The Holy Ghost will give you what social media can't give you. The Holy Ghost will give you what a job will not be able to give you. The Holy Ghost can give you what friends and family and every other toy and play pretty in life can't give you. And no matter what the cost is, it'll be worth it. I tell you what, 5 seconds after I land on the shores of glory and look in the face of my Savior, after I get off of my face, amen, and I get to look in His face, anything I ever sacrificed, anything I ever suffered would be the greatest delight of my eternity. And every other thing that I did for myself, I will be saddened in shame of it. As I look at somebody real valuable, maybe I could have given him a greater offering. For ye brethren, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered the things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. You may have to leave a net, you may have to leave a customs table, you may have to forsake all, you may need to deny yourself. In Luke 9, a man came to Jesus and said, I will follow thee. I'm going to follow you. You know what Jesus said? Boy, the master. The master. Now, if it had been me, here comes a guy and says, okay, Jesus, I'll follow you. I said, wow, we don't have too many of those around. You know what Jesus? Jesus stepped back and he said, let's see if this guy is willing to pay the cost. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. You want to follow me? You ain't going to get a bed. You want to follow me? You're not even going to get a hole. In other words, he's looking at this guy and he says, where do you think we're going? You think we're going to the lap of luxury? You think we're going to the sweet by and by and to the comfortable place? He said, no, you follow me, it's going to cost you something. You're not going to have as much as a fox. Wow. How much do I really want to be a follower of God? And at what point will I say, no, I don't want to pay that cost? If it encroaches upon what I want to do, I don't want to pay that cost to follow Him. I like the example of blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10. Jesus touched, you know, it heals him. He sees. You know, Jesus didn't even tell blind Bartimaeus anything. The Bible just says that when he got his sight, he just started following him. He didn't ask. You did that for me? Well, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Amen. Where are you going? I'm just following him.
Why? He touched my eyes and made me see. Where's he going? I don't care. I'm following him. Nobody ever did for me what he did for me. And I don't care where he goes. I don't care how deep it is. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to stick right with him. Because he's changed my life. Did he ask you to follow? No, but I'm going to stick with him anyway. He'll have to tell me to go away. I'm going to cling to him. I'm going to follow him. Oh, that we would be like blind Bartimaeus. Has he changed our lives? Has he made us see? Does he mean everything in the world to us? Why wouldn't we say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm just going to walk where you walk. I'm going to do what you do. I don't even care where it leads. The last thing. Would you go to John chapter 21? When he says, be ye followers of God as dear children, it means that dear children are only the followers. And sometimes that means that I must be willing to follow others. And it means I'm following that which is good. I'm walking in love and righteousness and godliness and faith and patience and meekness and all those things that enter the character of God. But it also means me following God that it's costing me something. John chapter 21, the last thing, if I'm going to be a follower of God. John 21, verse 19, would you look at it? Well, let's look at verse 18. Jesus is talking to Peter here. The Bible says in John 21, 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now Jesus has just prophesied and told Peter how he's going to die. He's just told Peter that he is going to give his life for him. And with that being said, he tells him again, follow me, Peter. It's okay. Now watch, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now we know who that is. That's John, the writer of this book. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Look at verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? In other words, Peter's contemplating his own future. He's contemplating his own prophesied death. And so he's thinking about his life. Well, he just told me what's happening with my story. And he says, well, Lord, what about him? What's he going to do? We've always been close. This inner circle, me and James and John, what's he going to do, Lord? I know you just told me I need to follow you and I need to just go this path of life that you've chosen me to. I need to be followers of God as a dear child. But what's he going to do, Lord? Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He did not say that John would tarry till he come. He just said, If I don't want him to die, if I want him to stick around till I come back, that don't have anything to do with your life. In other words, listen, church, listen, and this I'm ending on this, but it is important. If I'm going to follow God, I cannot worry about what others are doing or the race that they're running. I cannot be influenced by the life they live or the direction that they go, whether they're my friends, whether they're my family, whether they're my church members. I have got to follow God regardless of what others do. And sometimes that's the rub with people. They will follow. They will pay the cost. They will do right. Until this one that they loved or trusted or respected goes another direction, and then it influences their following Jesus. And Peter gets a lesson from Jesus Christ. Peter, don't you worry about any of these disciples. You've got one job, and that's to follow me. Let nothing interfere with it. Dear saint of God, don't let anything interfere with it. We're living in a day of broken hearts and wickedness and all types of confusion and all types of trouble on every side. But you can't let anyone else influence your following God. You've got to say, He loved me. He died for me. I love John. But no matter what John does, I got to follow Jesus. Whatever happens in his life has no bearing what happens in my life. Some people look at others and they say, God, it's not fair. I've tried to have the same life and heart that they do or they do, and they've got all of this type of path for their life, and the path of my life looks just sorry. And the Lord says, you've got to stop wondering what everybody else is going to do. And how their story is going to end. You've got one story. You got one shot in life. Are you going to follow God? Anything less is vanity.